What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thursday morning, November 2nd, 2023. It's the Beating the Book podcast, week number 9 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander. Thanks for listening. What a season it has been. As we approach the halfway point of the NFL season, hard to believe. As baseball is now in the rear view as well. Hey, congratulations if you had a Texas Rangers futures play, by the way. Good on you. But it's football, the real sport to handicap. We're all here, including the staples of the show, from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's very excited because he's going to the Steelers game tonight. Shaved.
In the luxury box, baby. In the luxury box, yinzers.
Steelers, 2.5-point favorites at home tonight against the Titans. And Todd Wishnett will be there. How you doing, Dottie? You good?
What's up, Gilly? I'm excited because Mario Cristobal games and Saquon Barkley fumbling inside the 10 have started to cease to exist.
Todd is referring to some bad beats of his in the past. Will Hill joins us, Bear Bets podcast, college and pro football version, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. By the way, Todd Wishnev is a T Wishnev on Twitter. How you doing, Will?
Boys, what's going on? Todd, I think, has a formal apology to issue after misrepresenting my teaser record last week.
Yes, he does.
Got involved, but we got it straightened out, so yep. Should be a fun week.
Yeah. Todd, want to apologize?
Teaser records were incorrect last week. Will Hill is actually now 5-3, and my faulty recording 1 week had him would have been at 4-4. So I am apologizing in public for messing that up. Well,
I went ahead and then audited my teaser record just to make sure that it was correct, and it was in fact correct. You did get mine correct, week by week. So only one apology. And our rotating guest this week. He was kind enough to join us on the show again this year. He came on. He comes on annually now. I think we could say it's an annual appearance. He is VSiN's own. He hosts a show called The Handle on the weekends here at VSiN with Mike Somich. But he also does his own podcast called All Angles, which he does solo. It's our old primetime action co-host. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, Mateo?
I'm doing well. I mean, what a week for me to come on and. A week in which I could take this entire card and roll it up and put it on a missile and fire it into the sun and just blow it up. And that was like really where I kind of want to be with this week on the card, but we'll talk to it. We're going to get something in the account.
Here. I will say this. And for people who listen to Guessing Lines on Monday, this was a harder week to come up with multiple plays for sure.
Well, Matt's going to let his team down because the guest record right now is 15-8-1.
Wow.
In number one spot. That's the first time the guest record has been number one in the Megapod since I've been doing it for many, many years. And it's beating Gilly by a half a game at 15-9. So Matt, the rest of the guests are counting on you to keep the streak going.
We'll do our best here. But
it's a very good
point. It's a rough week.
Just put pressure on them. Put pressure on them, Todd. I like that. So wait, if they're 15-8-1, what am I?
Here are the records. Gilly Ice at 12-9 last week comes up with a very, 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 very undeserving 3-0 when he gets the New York Giants to lose the game and 3-0. He moves to 15-9. His teaser pick one, he moves to 5-3 in teasers. Willie with a 1-2 moves to 11-13. But don't fret, he can always make a comeback like I did last year. And then I had a very solid 2-1, which deserved to be a 3-0 because of the Giants game. So I moved to 12-2-2 and have the lead at 6-2 in teasers. The guest, as I just said, 15-8-1, half a game lead over Gilly, and they are at 5-3 in teasers. Now, before we go any further, I am getting something in my ear.
Oh, no.
The Megapod News Network reporter John Smith is at the New York Giants facility to talk to Graham Gano, kicker, New York Giants. Mr. Gano, it true or is it not true you are working for Hashem in screwing Todd over and allowing Gilly to win when you missed a 35-yard field goal? Mr. Smith, I'm just struggling out here. I can't make a kick. I'm really sorry, baby. I'm really sorry. Anyways, back to you, Gil, in the Megapod.
Is Graham Gano from the Deep South? What was that?
I had to make him Southern.
Okay.
Because I just feel like if you keep missing kicks like that, there's something about, too much humidity or something in the ball.
Did you see a replay of that, though? 99 on the Jets. I think it's McDonald. I think it was the first-round pick. He's about to block it, and Gano has to sort of swerve around the kick. The guy, 99, got good penetration.
Oh, really?
Over the offensive line. Yeah, I'll send it to you guys. I think it was going to get blocked if he kicked it straight.
Okay, we have two.
How about Kayvon Thibodeau, who dropped the interception that cost me, along with Saquon Barkley, cost me my team total the week before, jumps offsides. How can you jump offsides in that scenario?
Well, that's what allowed the clock to stop on that final Jets drive that got them into field goal range to tie it up and force overtime. So we have two things to talk about real quick before we get into the show. One is, and I'll agree, Todd, to move on from this because you alluded to it earlier that you came back and you beat me in the Megapod handicapping contest last year. What ended up happening was, because I had forgotten, you beat me by a half a game. But the half game you beat me by was the DeMar Hamlin game that I chose. So literally I had one game less ultimately to handicap, and that's how you won. Ask Will and Matt, is that kosher? If you tell me that's kosher, that sometimes life is not fair.
All you have to do is go to tell them the whole story. The constitution of the Megapod states winning percentage stands regardless of amounts of picks and regardless of people having heart attacks on the field.
Does not
Thank
state
you.
That.
Now,
does
Will
not state
Matt.
That.
It does state that. Matt and Will.
I would just, it just has an asterisk.
An asterisk. Okay. It's got an asterisk. Yeah. I agree with that. You have an asterisk.
Roger Maris. I'll be Roger Maris.
I'm good with that. You have an asterisk. Will?
Roger Maris.
Will? Asterisk? Yeah.
Asterisk is good with me.
Okay. The other debate is this Giants-Jets thing, because we talked about this on text afterwards. Should the Giants have kicked away, given how anemic their offense was? Remember, -9 in passing yards was what they ended up with in this game. When they won the coin flip, should they have done the unorthodox and kicked away to begin that extra frame? Matt, what do you think?
I get it. I think I would just always take the ball. I mean, you break a fluke run. You would, weird things happen, blown coverage. You got defender falls over and then you like get you get a free touchdown. I mean, I get where you're going with it, but it seems like it's probably at the end of the day, considering you could then in fact lose the game without ever possessing the ball. And it was your choice to never possess the ball.
Yes.
Then that's like that. I think that wouldn't go over too much.
I am with you, Matt, actually, on this. I am actually with you. Will, you disagree? You think they should have kicked away?
Yeah, I was looking at it from the perspective I had Giants team total under, and I was more nervous if the Giants were on defense with them scoring than on offense. I just think the only way for the Giants to win that game was you kick off, you get a 3-and-out, maybe you get a sack, and who knows, you get a punt return, a turnover, a short field, and then you only have to go 15 or 20 yards to get in field goal range. This wasn't a normal NFL game. That guy wasn't an NFL quarterback. I mean, you can talk about why he was on the roster. I think it's, you could say that's organizational malpractice to have a guy on the team as your backup quarterback where you don't trust him to throw a football. It's the NFL. It's not like, all right, last year, two guys got hurt in the same game. Like, how did he make the team? I mean, I was trying, I saw him come in the game. I was like, DeVito, that can't be the guy from Illinois or Syracuse. That's
the
terrible
guy.
College.
Yeah.
And that's him. I mean, that was him. If you don't trust him to throw the ball, I don't know why he's on the team, but they had seven rushing first downs, 5 first downs by penalty, the Giants, and 0 passing first downs. It's just, it's not an NFL offense at that point. I think the better option is to put the ball in Zach Wilson's hand, and who knows, maybe you get a tip pass, maybe you get a short field, and win it with your defense. They were probably in bad shape either way, but I would have kicked.
Yeah, as it was, I mean, it took the Jets to convert a 3rd and 10, right, on the ensuing drive to even continue. Right. Otherwise, it would have just been a punt fest back and forth. Todd, which way did you come down on that, just curiously?
I agree with you guys. And the only thing I'll say otherwise is that maybe a good play to run would be, listen, wide receivers go for a Hail Mary and get in position to try to get a pass interference, and also at the same time have another receiver coming over to make the tackle on the interception. So that way you get either a really super long punt or you get a pass interference, and one way or the other you get something hopefully positive. That's the only thing I would say, because obviously I think Danny DeVito could roll out and throw a ball 60 yards and then maybe you get a pass interference or maybe you get an interception, but it's the same thing.
Could you imagine if it was actually Danny DeVito lining up behind center, rolling out?
Practically. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
That would be great. Todd,
this is why I say it was total robbery.
Todd, any in-game before we move on from last week?
I'd like to talk about some in-game. First of all, I'd like to say that I continue to believe that the attempts, if you have the ability to bet the attempts in-game on quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's working out.
And you can sniff out the situations where that team is going to be behind in the fourth quarter, you can really clean up, because there's going to be endless 5-yard dink and dunk passes in the last two drives of a blowout for the team. Whether they score the backdoor touchdown or not, they're going to get their 5-yard little chunkers, and you're going to get 8 to 9 attempts by that quarterback who's just trying to come back. Now, the tricky part is, how do you smell that, you know, out early enough, right? Like Stafford, I got screwed with Stafford was maybe my best bet in the history of my betting. I smelled that the Rams were in deep, deep trouble. I bet the Stafford attempts very early at like over 34.5. He already had 19 at the half and they were still behind by a billion points, and he gets injured. And if he wasn't injured, he would have ended up with at least 50 attempts in that game. It's impossible that it wouldn't have happened. So you want a team, especially a team that can move the ball a little bit, is like the greatest kind of team, because you know they're going to get first downs and they're going to, but even in a game where I got nothing, remember the Tampa Bay game, Tampa Bay got 3 and outed 3 times in the third quarter, and I thought the attempts was dead for the former Browns quarterback, Mayfield, right? But meanwhile, I got 15 pass attempts on that ridiculous last drive, and I still won. So it's very hard to not win if that team is behind by a million.
It's about as good a bet consistently as you can get in the NFL.
You just have to smell it out early, and you have to make sure that your team's behind by a lot.
Todd, is it smell it out or sniff it out? I need a ruling on that. You got to stick with one of them.
Smelling it out is like if it's a real strong one, but sniffing is like it's a little.
Okay, just curious.
I think you sniff it at first, and then as it becomes like, as it manifests, then you're now smelling it.
Full odor. Yeah. Got to be clear on this.
But there's always one or two or three NFL games where this is the scenario.
True that. Okay, was that what you wanted to talk about, or was there another one?
Yeah, I think that's a really
just keep driving that one home, because it's really good. All right, can I add one little caveat
to that?
Yes, please.
If you're going to make that bet, make sure your quarterback doesn't like break his thumb like 10 minutes later, like Stafford did, and screwed us all on Sunday.
That's correct.
Other than that, it is a great.
Yeah, it's probably a good point.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here are 3 reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in 2 strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Okay, before we do our best bets, Thursday night football. By the way, as we're doing this, I'm seeing it go to 3 everywhere. Not everywhere, but almost everywhere. The 2.5s are juiced heavily in favor of the Steelers tonight, hosting the Titans. Todd will be in attendance, but not close enough to actually heckle the players and actually affect the game. But Will Levis...
I'm going to be in the Yenzer luxury box in that.
Will Levis, 4 touchdown passes last week. However, if you just look at it a little closer, 2 of those DeAndre Hopkins had to like make an incredible catch on. One of them, he was well beyond the defense, and so it was a wide open play. The 4th touchdown pass to a, I was about to say Kiner Falefa, to Westbrook Akine. Nick Westbrook Akine. That was a great pass. But other than those 4 touchdown passes, by the way, Will Levis's stats against the Falcons, where he had a bye week to prepare, 15 of 25 for 81 with 3.2 yards per attempt and minus 0.60 expected points added per play on late downs with 2 of 11 a success rate on those. You got 2 weak offenses tonight. You got 2 good defenses. The total is 37, along with the Raiders and the Giants, the lowest total on the board. Matt, do you have anything on this game tonight?
I mean, you know, I typically have 2 or 3 different plays in these standalone games just for, you know, people who want, because everyone's going to bet them and, you know, want to kind of get some stuff out there. But honestly, this game is so bad from every single aspect. As you mentioned, the stuff with Will Levis last week, not only did you mention the touchdowns and the long passes to D-Hop, but one was like one of the most obvious offensive pass interferences that you will see ever, and that didn't get called, like where he slings the defender out of the way and then makes the catch and then goes into the end zone. That counts as a touchdown as well. This would for me kind of be a really great spot to try and fade this Titans team, except Kenny Pickett has decided on a short week that he's going to play with injured ribs. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I mean, like he's not good to begin with. And then now I got to factor in this guy's got injured ribs into my handicap. And like, it just puts me in a very, very rough spot from trying to figure out how this could go. Cause now I think the range of outcomes, what I thought was fairly narrow, has really widened. If it was Trubisky, I think this would be a great, great bet on the Steelers at 2.5, but can't get there. If anything, it would be an underlook at 37, under the 37, because yeah, I think Will Levis kind of comes back down to earth. He's not going to get these massive splash plays. If you look at the Steelers defense, they're 8th in pressure rate in the NFL. They're 4th in blitz rate. So not only are they going to be coming, but they're going to be coming and they get home. So Levis is going to meet a lot of guys today. And I think that could halt the scoring a little bit. And then on the other side, I just don't have any confidence in a broken Kenny Pickett to be able to lead this offense to a bunch of points either. So as low as the total is, probably under 37.
Yeah.
That's not one of your 3 best bets,
no,
right,
it's
Matt?
No.
So Will Levis goes from having a bye week to prepare to a short week on the road. And let me just ask you about the Kenny Pickett thing, Matt. Why? Because everything you're saying, right? Like you're right about the ribs. Why would the Steelers let him start? Isn't it their choice in the end?
Right. Him calling his own shots is so bizarre to me. Like, I don't get, like, he hasn't, to me, earned.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, hey, I'm playing. You know, it's like, no, man, you're not playing.
You're not
like,
playing.
No, you're not. You've been mediocre at best when you've been healthy. So, like, let's, like, keep you on the sideline when you're injured. I know. If this was Trubisky, I would be all over the Steelers at 2.5. I'd be all over it, but it's not, so I can't do it.
No,
Mike Tomlin lives 3 blocks away. I can go ask him if you want why.
He does. You do live.
He literally. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. I literally walk to his house. It's not that far away.
Knock on the door, and knock on the door and just say like, "Hey, just what's the deal with Pickett?"
Go. Why? No Minka.
By the way, this is one of my picks. One of my 3 picks is this game. By the way,
no Minka Fitzpatrick. By the way, for the Steelers tonight. What do you like here, Todd? A total.
I like that pick. You're giving me 2.5 as the line, right?
No, bro. I'm giving you 3. It's 3 now.
Oh, come on.
It's 3.
Seriously.
There's a lot of juice 2.5s out there right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, okay. But I'm seeing offshore. I'm just seeing all 3s.
I mean, are we giving me an official 2.5? Because I can't make the call on my own bet.
No, you can't.
There's 2.5 at DraftKings, FanDuel, BetRivers.
Right. 2.5 at
it's pretty good split.
2.5.
That's legit.
Okay. That's legit.
If Matt says okay, here we go. So I'm taking the Pittsburgh Yenzers at -2.5 in that. Now, before I give you reasons, before I give Yinz the reasons why I'm going to do that, I will have to go back to the fact that we have not done the Miami Dolphins song in a long time. You're like, well, Todd, what does this have to do with the Miami Dolphins? I'll tell you what it has to do with the Miami Dolphins. The reason we started singing the Miami Dolphins song is because we originally sung the Houston Oilers song, and we thought they were the ones who started it back in the 70s with Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini. So last week, your boy Will Levis puts on the Dan Pastorini jersey.
Great,
and I wanted to sing the song to those Oilers. So it's because you're Will Levis, you are not in round one. Oh, Will Levis, you will never be in round one. There you go. For people who love the song and I haven't sung it in a while.
What do you think the percentage of this audience that just turns off the podcast at that point is? What do you think
There's a lot of Twitter people that get mad if I don't sing it. They always go, Todd, why aren't you singing the song?
10%? Anyways, 40%? What do you think it is?
I don't know. Anyways, the point is, now I can give you why I'm taking the pick. I agree with a lot of what Matt's saying, and I'm going to say one more thing. Pittsburgh Steelers don't win football games because of the quarterback position in that. We win football games because we punt the ball and we play defense in that. And then we get like one like lucky score by that great wide receiver we got from down in Georgia in that. And then we go in there and we win the ball game 19-17 or something like that. But this week we got to cover the 2.5. So I'm thinking maybe 19-13 Steelers. I think the Steelers, this is a perfect spot for the Steelers. Tennessee's defense, by the way, is not good. Mr. Vrabel does not have the typical Tennessee defense. And here's why. Taylor Heinicke came in and had two backdoor touchdowns in that game. Look at a lot of the other games. The Colts went up and down the field against Tennessee. Tons of teams are moving the ball on the Tennessee Titans. This is not your grandfather's Titans who run the ball and play great defense. They still try to run the ball, but they don't play great defense. And Will Levis is a fraud. I've already sung the song to prove that. He wasn't even around first round draft pick, but he is not good enough to go into Pittsburgh in the freezing cold with me in the luxury box screaming. He's not getting it done, folks. Pittsburgh Steelers minus 2.5, free parking at the Rivers if you have the proper card. Thank you.
All right. Our grandfather's Titans would be the Oilers, first of all. And secondly, you've talked way too much on this show so far. Can I just say that?
Fezzik
is logging the total number of words from everybody, and he's not happy.
To Matt, and Fezzik can go suck it, okay? Mr. No Fun.
Will, you have anything in this game?
One of my picks was going to be on the over like an hour or so ago as I'm getting ready here. It was like 35.5. I just like what Todd said, Tennessee's not that good on defense. Even Pittsburgh, like Fitzpatrick's out, I think you can throw it on Pittsburgh. We saw Levis at least throw it downfield and make some attempts, like 35.5. It was not that long ago. Like it's hard to stay under. I know it's a low number, but like 20-17 goes over. Now at 37, it's a pass for me. Don't want much to do. I would assume Pittsburgh would win. Would need to see a little more from Levis, but pretty easy pass at this number.
Did it really get down to 35.5? When did that happen?
Quick. And it opened 37.5, and then I was like, man, I missed under 37.5. And then it just kept going under. They must have gotten a couple of big pops on the over, which I can understand. Like 35.5, 36, those are low numbers, and obviously 37 is a key number.
All right, Matt. Matt Brown M2 is his Twitter handle. You got the first best bet, sir. What do you like?
Give me the Seattle Seahawks getting 6. It was getting all the way up to 6 was the buy point for me in this one on Seattle. I think going out and getting Leonard Williams is a pretty big get for them. He has 22 quarterback pressures on the year on a bad defense, and so now he moves over to a competent defense, should be able to help out from that aspect for them. They've got the number one corner in the NFL in Witherspoon, according to Pro Football Focus as well, so now you're getting a defense that can not only get a little bit of pressure on the opposing quarterback, but you're also getting some guys that can cover out there. And listen, I like the Ravens. I think they're good. I just think this number's too much at 6. If you look, they had one really, really, really impressive performance. But outside of that, the Ravens have been just good. They haven't been elite. And if you're going to give me nearly a touchdown, I'm getting, you know, the third keyest number out there at 6 on a Seattle team that I think can also move the ball on the Ravens. If you look, this Seattle team, I know Geno is a guy that we is always going to do the one or two things a game where we just shake our head and say, Geno, man, what are you doing? Like, why are we doing this? But outside of that, they've been really efficient. I mean, if their offensive EPA is eighth overall on the year, if you look on their pass offense, it's like 11th from an EPA standpoint. Their success rate is fourth, which means they're playing ahead of schedule most of the time as you move along. And so you look at Baltimore's defense, and if there's anything that I think helps us out here is they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. Geno looks like Geno when Geno gets pressured, and Baltimore's 24th in the NFL in pressure rate right now. So he should be able to be okay. This offensive line's getting healthy for Seattle as well. And once it hit six, that was the buy point for me a little bit too much. And I'll take the six with Seattle.
Taking the six on the Seahawks early game at the Ravens. Devin Witherspoon, by the way, second shot in defensive rookie of the year. Jalen Carter remains the favorite at minus 125 for the Eagles. Witherspoon is plus 140. I kind of feel like he's the better bet. I don't know if I want to put my money on that because it's not enough bang for my buck, but plus 140 on Devin Witherspoon. I agree with you about Geno, by the way. I know that's your one caveat for the game. He just worries me with that Seahawks team. Ravens, where do you have the Ravens in your power rankings, Matt, by the way?
Yeah, so I've got them. I mean, I have them very high. The thing is I am pretty high on both of these teams, which is a little bit, you know, unfortunate for me. But I have, so it goes Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins, Bengals, Ravens. So I have Ravens fifth, but Ravens, I have, Bengals, Ravens, but I also have the Seahawks at seven. So, I mean,
wow.
You know,
yeah,
it's not that far behind.
I was looking at, I have the Seahawks in the top 10 as well, just because there's not an alternative for me to put them in. Aaron Schatz, DVOA, his overall team DVOA, calling this up right now, it's taking its while. Baltimore 1, Seattle 10th. He's got Seattle in the top 10 as well. Just curious.
By the way, Matt, I don't disagree with your pick, but you did say they only had the one win against Detroit. They also beat Cleveland 28-3. Now, granted, it was DTR playing quarterback, and they also beat Houston 25-9, which both look like better. You know, Houston's a little bit better than probably people thought. So I wouldn't say that Baltimore's only had one win. Now, with that said, I like your pick. I'm just stating something.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Houston's defense is a bottom three defense in the NFL. And it's, you know, if you look, like you said, I mean, the Browns with DTR out there, I would say any team in the NFL could have beat them that day. Yeah. Like, quite literally. No, like, any team in the NFL could have beaten them that day. Yeah.
That's 100% fair.
Boy, Pat McAfee loves Lombardi, huh? Is he on every day with Pat McAfee? What's the deal? He's everywhere. All right. Todd, what is your. Well, no, Todd, you already gave one. Will Hill.
Give me the Bengals, what, one and a half? Mostly 1.5 here. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I'm surprised. I was worried this line would get up to like 3, and obviously wouldn't like it as much, but at 1.5, this is a play. I just don't think Buffalo's healthy. I don't know that Allen's healthy. He's been in and out of practice all week. Their defense is all beat up, and this might just be a bad matchup for the Bills. I remember last year in the playoffs, since he went in there, all sorts of offensive line issues, since he was like a 5-point underdog, since he dominated that game from start to finish, won by, I think, like 17 points, and it honestly could have been more. And if you remember the Hamlin game, people think about that game, and they obviously think of Hamlin and what happened with that. But since he was dominating that game through a quarter, I think they were up 7 driving, like minus 200 on the money line, something like that, in a game where since he was the underdog. So I think Buffalo's beat up. I think since he's getting right, I will take the Bengals here minus the 1.5.
Is it 1.5 or is it 2, Todd? What are you saying?
I see a lot of 2s, but, I mean, can you do you have a lot of 1.5s there, Will, that we don't see?
I'm just looking at one of these apps. Bet Rivers got 1.5 down at the Rivers app.
MGM's 1.5.
All right. Okay. We'll give you the 1.5.
All right.
It was one. It was actually 1 when we started this podcast, because this is also one of mine. And so like it's actually gotten bet since we've been going for about 20 minutes here.
So this is my first one as well. On guessing lines, it was the
you
line.
You guys are all going down. This is going to be bad.
On guessing lines, it was the line that I thought was the most off. I guessed 4 on this for the Bengals. By the way, guessing lines has been gold this year in terms of first reactions. I like the Bengals for all the reasons that Will states. I also sort of put the Bengals in this. You know, I talk about the Dolphins and the Cowboys and to some extent the Lions. They're what Dr. Bob refers to as bullies, right? They beat up on the teams that are clearly worse than them talent-wise. But then when someone their own size picks on them, it doesn't go quite as well. The Bengals, whatever the name is for the opposite of that, that's what the Bengals are. They always show up against competition, always under Joe Burrow, with the exception of the first few games of every season. So the Bengals, to me, are clearly the play, and I've got them, like, once you saw that game last week, like, if you had any doubts about the Bengals, which I did, right, because I was like, even when they beat Arizona by 14, it was super tight late in the third quarter, and Dobbs didn't convert a fourth and one, and if they had, that game could have gone differently. So I had my doubts about them. But, man, once you saw that game last week at San Francisco, all those old Bengals feelings came rushing back. I know there's some people out there like, oh, it's the Bills are as a dog. It's a different story when they're a dog. Yeah, I'll take the Bengals. Thank you very much. That's my first play of the week as well. Bengals.
Yeah, I'm on it as well, guys. I mean, it's just for me as the first bet I put in my account this week. If you look, the reason we thought so highly of Cincinnati heading into the season was for what we saw last week. And we didn't get what we thought heading into this year because of the injury to Joe Burrow. And then now we get that bye. They got the most fortunate bye week situation of any team in the NFL. They needed it more than anybody because not only was Burrow hurt, you had T. Higgins that was hurt as well. And for whatever reason, Lou Anarumo and that defense had not really figured things out. And Lou Anarumo and that defense was awesome last year. And man, that bye week comes. Burrow looks like Burrow again. T. Higgins is healthy. That defense, by the way, which we didn't really talk about because everyone wants to talk about how awesome Burrow looked. The defense was back again, confusing Purdy all over the place, giving him weird looks and all that. If you go back and you rewatch that game, they did some really cool stuff against Purdy. And it might just be because it was Purdy and his lack of experience and stuff. But I think they're going to be able to – I think Lou Anarumo went to the lab and came back out with some good stuff after that as well. And this was a team that was a Super Bowl like literally one of the top three Super Bowl favorites entering the season. And then we just kind of forgot about them because their quarterback got hurt. And now they're back. And this is the team that we thought that they were going to be all along anyway. And so for me, same deal, guys. Like this was at 1, 1.5, 2, whatever, anything under a field goal, I'm perfectly fine with Cincinnati here.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to jump in. Like one more thing I meant to mention, my handicap. McDermott's going to kill him at some point. It's done him in the past. He gets so tight, so conservative.
He just
play with their food. Like last week against the Bucs, they drive him past midfield. It's like, all right, we'll run it. We'll punt. It's like, you have the ultimate weapon in Allen. He's just so conservative. I thought that Kansas City game a couple years ago, there was a couple fourth and ones where they punted. He's a very conservative coach by nature. I think that's going to come back to bite him at some point. So I don't like that.
My biggest concern with the Bills coming into this season was the fact that they didn't address a second playmaker, right? And then they got away with it for a little while. And I think these teams now are just like, Steph Diggs is not going to beat us. Like it's not going to happen. You go beat us with Gabe Davis and you go beat us with Dalton Kincaid and whatever, that's fine. Steph Diggs isn't going to beat us. And I think that that's starting to show up a lot here too with this Bills team.
Yeah, and that Bills team also, when you go to analytics sites, they still have the Bills rated really high. And I'm not saying they're not one of the best, pardon me, like eight teams in the league. Gee, I can't speak. Thank you very much. But they like have them like third or fourth, and there's so much of their priors is still involved in that. And I'm just like you said, Matt, there was that three-game stretch where they crushed three teams. But who were those three teams? Well, Las Vegas and Washington were two of them. Then they did beat Miami handily. That's like their one really good game. Other than that, like, even when they beat the Giants and the Bucks, they're barely getting by this last month. They played a month of horrible football. So, for all those reasons, Cincinnati. And I do really stand by that thing. Whatever the opposite of a bully is, that's them. It's just amazing how they always rise to the occasion. We're going to snake. Can I do number two?
Go. Yeah. Matt, by the way, that was Matt's number two, but we just went out of order. But
when it's the same pick, you can jump in. It's no problem.
I didn't say there was a problem. I was just stating.
Well, if you knew the Megapod Constitution and its statutes, you would know that that's allowed. on a week where there isn't much, I'm going to take the Washington Commodes. +3, is it now? No longer 3.5? I have it in my
We lost. You lost that like just recently. That's unfortunate for you.
I have 3.5 in my betting account, but I'll take the 3 here on the show just because when Washington at the trade deadline got rid of Montez Sweat and Chase Young, which, by the way, for those of us who grew up on this team, is pretty fascinating because they devoted all their money to Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne in the middle of that defensive line. They were going to have to make a choice between Sweat and Chase Young. And in the end, they did, at the end of this season, who they were going to pay long term. And in the end, I guess the Bears' offer of a second round pick, which from the Bears is really like a top 40 pick. It's like a late first, in other words, for Montez Sweat was too much to pass up. I don't know why they got at that point. I was like, oh, they're keeping Chase Young. I would have preferred a second round pick for Chase Young. Instead, they get a third, one of the 49ers compensatory picks. But the point of all that is to say, even in getting rid of those two guys, this line should not have moved from 2.5 to 3.5. Should not have moved through the three. Nor do I think it should have moved at all. Because even with those two guys, this team was terrible on defense. Terrible. They were, and I'll give you the exact numbers of what they are just in the conventional stats. They're 31st in scoring defense and 29th in yards per game. It's not good. They're giving up 38 to the Eagles. And if those rankings, by the way, the 31st and 29th that I just talked about, if those continue, it would be the worst defensive showing in franchise history. History. So, I don't know. In this league where so much of it is Plinko, I'll take, in the betting account, I got 3.5. But I'll take the 3 here on Washington. I think they keep it close. I think Sam Howell, God, if they could just give him some protection, which is where they're going to like reallocate their assets now in the future to actually get an offensive lineman for him. But I'll take Washington plus 3 here. I have no confidence in the Patriots being able to roll them, let's say.
Are you concerned about Richie Pettibone's defense?
Never concerned about Richie Pettibone's defense. Never. But this defense, massively so. But still, again, in a league where I think, you know, flip a coin with these two teams, give me the 3.
Will's turn.
The market seems to love the Miami Dolphins. I don't. I will lay the 1, 1.5. What are we seeing with the Chiefs? 1 or 1.5? I'm seeing a little of both.
I see a lot of 1.5s.
In Germany.
1.5 is fine for me.
KC.
I think. What's that, Todd?
KC minus 1.5, right?
Yeah. Yep. If you pressure Tua, he's a different player. I think Spagnuolo is one of the better defensive coordinators. Chiefs are much improved on defense. It's legitimately a good defense, top 5 in DVOA. And if you pressure Tua and he makes a mistake, that could be the difference in this game. Should be a fun game. Should be a great game. I just think with the Chiefs and Mahomes, like when you're laying a big number, they just have no appetite, no interest to cover that. But Mahomes is a dog whenever you can get it. Mahomes under a field goal. Like to me, it's just sort of automatic take here. I can throw out last week's game, 5 turnovers. Mahomes was sick. This is a good buy-low spot. I like the Chiefs here to win this game.
Does the travel schedule bother you? The Dolphins went first? Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It reminds me what you just said, Will, about an in-game thing. I loved the Broncos last week. In fact, on a Megapod called the Megapod, I actually said KC was the most likely favorite to lose. And Dr. Bob said he liked my pick as well. And then, in fact, the Chiefs did go ahead and lay an egg like they were due for. And I, like an idiot, took the Chiefs at minus 130 on the money line when they were behind, even though I knew this was not the week to mess around with that. So there's other games. There's other games. You don't have to go against your original thought. So I'm just talking to myself here, but, you know, that was a bad play by me.
Well, you're a very dumb human being. That's what I mean. That's what it comes down to.
I agree with that. Live betting thought. I texted this out in the group chat. You could see early on, sometimes it's a cousin of Todd's quarterback attempts. You can see early on a game plan where, hey, they don't trust the quarterback. They just want to run the ball. Casey's been a little vulnerable against the run. I sent out to you guys, hey, Javonte Williams, I think it was over 15.5 carries. He ended up getting in the 20. Sometimes, you know, we talk about a team behind, the quarterback attempts over is a good one. If a team has a lead and you can tell, hey, they're going to be run heavy, picking out a running back, their primary running back for over attempts is a good one too, I think.
How about the fact that
unless it's the Chargers.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt, what were you saying?
Yeah, just I was just going to a little bit of commentary on this game just because it is such a popular game this week. I've talked myself into both sides, which has then led me to a pass on this thing. Like so the Chiefs let you do, as Will just said, like the Chiefs let you do what is the most inefficient thing in the NFL, which is to run the ball. But you have a Miami team that is literally the best at running the ball in the NFL. Like they're number one rush offense EPA. They are the number two rush offense in success rate. They are the number three, the number one rush offense DVOA. Like they do it better than anybody. And if you look at Kansas City, they're 31st rush offense against success rate. They're 31st rush defense EPA against. And so I think there is at least a difference whenever you're talking about, yeah, they'll let you do the inefficient thing. They'll let you run on them. But when you're going against a team that does it so incredibly well, that does give me pause in this one. I thought I was going to be on Miami. Then I thought I was going to be on KC when this number got down to one. And now at this point, I just think I'm going to sit back and watch what I hope to be an awesome game. I think the stadium's like a retractable roof, so I don't think you have to worry about weather or anything like that. So if it does happen to be rainy or cold or something, I think that they can close the roof, so we don't have to like handicap what the weather's going to be like in Germany this time of year. But it's just it's a very interesting deal, a super, super strength versus a weakness, and how will that all play out when it's all said and done?
But isn't that also, Matt, because they throw the ball so well that everybody has to play like dime and coverage against their receivers all the time? Like, sometimes I feel like those stats are a little misleading. Like, maybe the Dolphins aren't, they are obviously good on run, but that it's because the other team's forced to play them that way, no?
Well, I mean, so you're getting kind of a little bit of everything whenever you're talking about EPA and you're talking about success rate and you're talking about DVOAs, because they're all formulated differently and all three of them have them as like either one or two in the NFL, right? Obviously, success rate is just getting a certain amount of yards on a certain down whenever you run it like that at that point. Expected points added, obviously, is are you doing something that adds expected points to your offense whenever you are going? And then DVOA, obviously, is the formula that shots in them have. So, I mean, it's they're all coming up with the same thing here, right? And which is, so even though they look at it completely differently. So, to me, I think it's legit. And I think it's a product of McDaniels.
I'm not saying it's not legit. Yep. I'm not saying it's not legit. I'm just saying, what's the reasoning why it's legit? Is it because they just line up and try to push you over? No, I think it's the reason it's legit is because the other team has to put so much emphasis on stopping these crazy wide receivers that the run game becomes ridiculously wide open. And does that feed into how Kansas City plays defense? Maybe it does. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, that could certainly play into it. I think McDaniel's scheming is just ridiculous. Like, brilliant. I think this guy's play calling, when he calls the plays, when to do the things, I just think he's a level above kind of everybody right now. And that includes Andy Reid. That includes all these other guys that are offensive geniuses. Like, I think this guy just knows his team very, very, very well. That being said, like I said, that's a lot of words for me to say I'm passing on a game, but like, it's just like, that's why though, just the reasoning as to why is I can't get a grasp on where, you know, the strength and the weakness are finally going to break.
Yeah. I, by the way, I'm just going to jump in. I'm on the Chiefs too as my third. And this is, if there ever was a week where the reason that's my third is because I just can't come up with a fourth. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Like, there's so many of these games where I'm like, I have no idea. And until I see otherwise with the Dolphins, until I see them beating somebody, I mean, they have earlier in the year, right? They had two road wins earlier in the year. But I just feel like they're the ultimate bully. By the way, those two games that they won on the road earlier in the year were the Chargers in New England, which at the time we thought was great wins, but not really in retrospect. So I'll take the Chiefs. I don't think Patrick Mahomes will have two bad games in a row. So I'll swallow hard. I don't like the travel because the Dolphins went earlier, but I'll take the Chiefs here. By the way, 6:30 a.m. Pacific, Matt. This is the best game of the week. Do you think you'll be up for it?
Oh, I get up for even the bad ones. I mean, you know, it just kind of is what it is.
Me
but
too.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, y'all's bets, if you're taking Mahomes at basically a pick, you're never really getting it in bad, right?
Right.
Like, you're never like really getting it in bad. Like it's like there's
the
always
same thing in the Super Bowl.
Your handicap alone. Like the handicap alone, you could come in like, I'm taking the Chiefs because it's less than a field goal. Move on. You know what I mean? Like there it is. Like that could be the handicap.
By the way,
it's just about every game.
Matt makes a great point about you're never getting it in bad. And if we're talking about the Chiefs, we're probably really talking about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift not getting it in bad.
Oh,
terrible. Just terrible. That's about your worst one this whole time.
Hey, you can't knock every ball out of the park. Sometimes you're going to hit grounders. I'm sorry.
All right. So wait, I've done all three. Who's next?
Matt has two. Willie has two. I have one.
Oh, so you go. You go.
Yeah. I am going to go with something that I like to do, which is that it's not in the models, so to speak. And me and Gilly were right on this a couple years ago with a man named Ryan Fitzpatrick when everybody, you know, the Dolphins had lost like every single game and they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick as the backup. And me and Gilly were in Vegas that time and we were looking at each other. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not that bad. And then he reeled off like a million line wins in a row. And this sometimes, if you have that back history of guys, can lead to some good stuff because the models won't reflect it. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about Mr. Washington Redskin Commander Tyler Taylor Heinicke. Mr. Heinicke is a gigundous upgrade from one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen for the University of Cincinnati, and that is Mr. Desmond Ridder, okay? This guy was moving the ball up and down the field, and I was like, where was this from the Falcons the whole season? I'll tell you where it was. It was in Desmond Ridder rolling back, can't read the defense, throw it to the wrong side, had takeoff and run. The guy is no good. Taylor Heinicke, he may not be great, but he's a competent quarterback. Gilly, I'm sure you were quite happy with him for those couple years there where he gave you a little, you know, run up your leg or something there because you took him to the playoffs, you know, or something. But he did something for you. He's not that bad. And now with some talent around, Atlanta has some talent at receiver and at running back. They've got some talented players. I think Mr. Heinicke is going to be a gigantic upgrade. And the models will not show it. Now, granted, Atlanta's, what do you have, -4.5?
Yeah.
Is that what you have?
Yeah.
Okay. Atlanta, I get Atlanta -4.5 going against a team that is either playing a guy, Dobbs, right, or they're playing some other guy, Joe Webb, or I don't even know who the hell they're playing, just some absolute garbage they're going to play. And so you're telling me Atlanta at home after getting smacked last week in Tennessee, and I have a real quarterback? No, I'm not saying Taylor Heinicke. Don't start screaming at me. Taylor Heinicke is not the greatest quarterback. I mean, they didn't say he was the greatest. I said he's a gigantic upgrade from Ridder. So give me Atlanta -4.5. Watch Taylor Heinicke just drive him down the field and get your money. Thank you.
Jaren Hall starting for the Vikings. And Taylor Heinicke's arc is always the same, which is he comes in, he gives you a great spark. Within about two or three games, you realize he has no arm. And he can't get the ball more than 45 yards downfield. And then they'll go back to Desmond Ridder at that point. But yeah, he should be good here for the short term. Will, who's next? Matt is next, right?
Matt is next.
And just to, as an interesting note here that pops up on the phone for bets that all three of us have, Bills head coach Sean McDermott said he's, quote, confident in what the medical team shared with me that Josh Allen will be ready to go Sunday night.
Wow.
So that's not that's not great.
That's not great for them. Good.
That's not great. So hey, I feel better. I feel even better about the bet now. So all right. Confident with what the medical team has shared with me.
That's funny. I didn't even know the medical team had to share something with you.
Wait, did you hear this coming over the Twitter thread right now, Matt? Did you see that latest thing?
It's a
future radio call. 20 seconds to play. 23-17. Cincinnati Bengals up by 6. The Bills inside the 10-yard line at the 8-yard line, down by 6 points. Josh Allen rolls out. The pressure's all over him. He gets away. He hit the pylon. Touchdown, Bills. And the Bills cover it. And everyone goes home sad.
It's like doing a podcast with an 8-year-old. Like you can't stop it. It just happens. What's next, Matt? What do you got?
Oh, man, it is. So, Gil, you said you couldn't find a fourth. It was hard for me to find a third.
Yeah.
And so I put the grossest bet in my account that I think I've ever made.
Oh, I like this.
And I took the 8.5 points with the Chicago Bears against the New Orleans Saints this week.
That's awesome.
And this is everything to do with it is a 41 total for a reason, because the Saints can't score at will. They can't score. They can't beat anybody by margin. And I get it. I know what we're getting with the Bears. I know the whole Tyson Bagent thing. And I understand that he is below league replacement level. And I get all of that, but you're asking this Saints team that has not been able to string together two drives, like two competent drives all season long. It's just, it is the same thing over and over and over again with the Saints team. They look like an actual NFL team for one drive, and then it's four punts in a row, and it just keeps going like that. And so for me, they don't get any pressure on the quarterback, so at least we don't have to worry about that from the Bagent situation. We don't have to worry about him getting knocked down all over the place or having to be forced to throw under all kinds of duress. And so I'll take the 8.5 points strictly because New Orleans winning at margin just doesn't seem to be something they want to do very often, and I will go ahead and hold the nose, plug it, and think that Chicago is at least somewhat live to come backdoor me at least later on in this game.
I don't hate it. I really don't. Like, and Derek Carr had to throw like the best passes of his life last week to make that happen for the Saints. It's as good as any. By the way, let me interject something before we get our final two picks from Todd and Will, because no one's mentioned this game yet. I'm curious if this will come up with you two guys. But the other marquee matchup of the week is the Cowboys and the Eagles. And we haven't touched on, obviously, Bills, Bengals, and Dolphins, Chiefs being the other two. It's funny, on a numbers game this week, we had three different people. And I don't bring up the game and then they respond to it. It's just, okay, what are your best bets? And we had Mr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. He loved the Cowboys. We have Drew Dinsick on, Whale Capper, from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Of course, both those guys have been on the Megapod this year already. He loved the Cowboys. And then we had Will Hill. Oh, Will, you're here. Do you love the Cowboys? Is that your third?
Cowboys plus three. I don't think the threes will be there by the time kickoff. I just think I bet Hurts under rushing last week. I remember 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins, he had a knee brace on. And if you got a bulky knee, that's not the pass rush you want to be going against with Parsons and all those guys who basically just ruined and ended the Rams season last week, destroying Stafford in that offensive line. I think the Eagles secondary can be exposed. I think Cowboys will have the weapons to get open here. Philly's a weird team because they just destroyed Miami. But other than that, it's been kind of, they leave you lukewarm, even though you look up and hey, they're 7-1. So you can only knock a team so much, but I'll take the three here. I think this is closer to a coin toss game, brutal stretch for Philly coming up. So, if you do like Dallas here, maybe now's a good time to get in on Dallas division, but give me the three here with the Cowboys.
Philly's next stretch of games to get at what you are just alluding to here. And I'm taking forever to get to it. My apologies.
While you look, you guys mentioned the Saints. I did bet the Saints -150 to make the playoffs and +140 to win the division. Their schedule is so easy, and it's just very hard to get to seven NFC teams. Now with Stafford hurt, Cousins hurt, you start to run out of teams. With that, I mean, they have a good enough defense and good enough skill guys where I feel like they should get to 9 wins, and 9 probably gets you in there.
Jags are going to win the AFC South going away. Detroit's going to win the NFC North going away. You really do think New Orleans is going to outpace? You're probably right. They probably will. I like Atlanta season win total under adjusted because I think 9.5 is too high for them. Here's the Philly stretch.
Taylor Heineke, look up.
Here's the Philly stretch. Home Dallas this week, then a bye. Then at KC, home Buffalo, home San Francisco, at Dallas, at Seattle. Oh! Before finishing Giants twice in Arizona in the middle.
I was screaming a couple of weeks ago that if you like Jalen Hurts and you believe in this team, like that was the time to get him for MVP, because if they make it through this stretch, he's going to be like -200 like for MVP. Like it's going to be ridiculous, right? I mean, it's the craziest stretch of games for them that you're ever going to see. I do have one pushback here, because I think that there's something about this Dallas team that people that is a bit of a misconception, because everyone talks about the Dallas pass rush and also that, like, they're 21st in the NFL in pressure rate. And like, the thing is we have this thing in our brains that makes us think that they have this awesome pass rush because it's the same guy every single time.
Yep.
And so it's like, we're always seeing Micah Parsons, but it's like, when it's not Micah Parsons, it's nobody. And so like, we think that they're always getting pressure because it's always Micah Parsons, but literally they're 21st in the NFL in pressure rate on quarterbacks. And so they're below league average right now when it comes to that. And so, and they blitz at the 9th highest rate. So which lets you know, like, they're blitzing and not getting home when these blitzes actually. And so it's an interesting deal, because I was doing it for a while. And then when you like really dig in, you start to realize like, oh, it's just because it's the same dude every time. And we just feel like they're always getting home, but really he's always getting home. But when he's not, nobody else is.
It's an interesting point. The reason I brought up the whole thing about the Cowboys and Dinsick and Eager. By the way, I wasn't doing some corny bit. I just remembered as I was doing it. Who's the third guy? Oh, yeah, it was Will. I'm not saying you guys are wrong. It might get home, and I get the whole thing. In a coin flip game, you want to take the 3 points. I was just so surprised that all of you immediately went to that game, because I've watched enough of these Philly-Dallas games where I'm like, oh, wow, that's a lot of conviction on a
on a, also, aren't you? Isn't it so Dallas to win a game by a million points one week and then the next week they show up with a gigantic booty in their pants? They do it over and over. They get the believers. Oh, Dak Prescott, he's the greatest guy. Hey, there's a, Dallas is amazing. The next week, a gigantic load in their pants every single time.
Gigantic, gigundous.
Gigantic is bad. Gigundous, and forget it. You can't even clean that up. It's so bad.
We have screens where I'm doing it from the bar Canada at the D. This they have a breaking, you know, not breaking, but like a big Cardinals. Like Kyler Murray, he's fired up and ready to go. Why are they so pressed about playing him? Like what?
Strange.
They should not be. Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. They should not be.
That's
gonna be Tune this week, though, right? We're not thinking it's Murray this week.
No, it's Clayton Tune this week. Yeah,
That probably will not go well. You guys, you alluded to MVP, Todd. I don't know if you bet MVP. I know you. I'm not sure if you bet awards. You haven't mentioned it, but these odds stink. I mean, you got four guys 5-1 or shorter. Two is 4-1. Hurts +450. Mahomes +450. Lamar's 5-1 +550 or whatever. I mean, how do you have four guys 5-1 or shorter? I think, you know what happened? Mahomes won this award in 2018, at like 70-1, and Lamar won it, I think, the next year, at like 60-1. One of the guys might have been 80-1. And these books are like, you know what? No more. We're not giving out huge numbers on these quarterbacks. We're just going to take our ball and go home, and we're going to shrink all the numbers. All these odds stink. I can't find one bet I like here.
So it's funny you bring that up. So the same people I just alluded to. So when I asked that this week, eager, before I could finish the sentence, Josh Allen, clearly the MVP. When I asked Dinsick has gotten like really, he'll even admit this, like anybody who doesn't think Patrick Mahomes is the MVP is an idiot kind of vibe to him. But they have so much conviction on different guys, and I'm with you, it's like, we don't know, there's 50 voters, right? 50, that's it. And because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 now, they don't just pick one guy. Someone who I bet on, Tyreek Hill, I know, non-quarterback hasn't been an MVP in 5 years, which bothers me tremendously that everybody's...
Who was the guy?
I think Derrick Henry, right? Wasn't it?
Peterson won it that year. He almost broke the record in 2012.
No, this was more recent than that. I think it was Derrick Henry, wasn't
it? MVP?
MVP, more recent than Peterson.
Oh, I don't think so.
Wait a minute, hold on. No, I think I'm right about this. Hold on.
I'm right.
We're just talking about the most recent non-quarterback. Oh, no, you are right. You are 100% right.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Adrian Peterson in 2012, so it has been longer. Oh, I got that wrong. Okay, so...
So 11 years since they had one?
So 11 straight years we have had, 10 straight years basically, right? 10 straight years we've had a quarterback now win. And in most of those years, it was you could only pick one, right? That's why, like, remember when they said, oh, Russell Wilson has never gotten an MVP vote? That's because they only picked who their MVP was. They didn't go second through fifth place. Now they do second through fifth place. So, like, the vibe I got from Aaron Schatz was, because when I bring up Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey, could it be? He's like, nope. Quarterback by the analytics means that much more. It's a quarterback award. And I also got the vibe that now that they can do second through five, it makes it easier for them to put Tyreek third, right? Or McCaffrey fifth
throw
and say,
bone.
Yeah, throw him a bone, right? They get points, but they don't actually win it kind of thing.
That would be worse for you, you're saying.
What's that?
That'd be worse. That would be worse for you or better?
Worse for me. Worse. Because I think if you were stuck to one, then you'd have to make a decision. And in a weird year, Tyreek could win on a plurality, right?
So now forget it.
Now forget it, because they're gonna default to that. So, but I'm with you, Will. Like, I don't think there's a bet right now. I don't know how you feel, Matt, but I don't think there is one.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I thought the bet was 2 weeks ago when Hurts was still sitting 9-1, and like, because mainly he can go win it. Like, he's the only guy of this group that can actually just go win it, because that schedule is so ridiculous that if they navigate that schedule, there's going to be no choice but to give it to him. Remember, he would have won it last year had he not gotten hurt on those last three games of the year. And then they had to, like, he was going away winning the award last year. And then he got hurt, and then it didn't go his way. I think the only other bet that you could throw into your account, and this is obvious, Gil's going to laugh because he thinks it's a homer thing here, but, like, honestly, Burrow at 20-1.
Oh, I said that this week too. I said that's probably, like, the best bet. Yeah.
Like Burrow at 20-1 is the one where you can go in and you're like, they're 4-3. if they rattle off, I mean, they've won three in a row as it is already right now. If they beat the Bills this week, now you're going like there's Texans, Steelers, Jags, Colts, Vikings, Steelers on the schedule. Like them winning 10, 12 games in a row is not out of the realm of possibility here at all. And then you have that win the MVP moment because it's on the road at the Chiefs in week 17.
Right.
And if they've won 10, 12 games in a row, and then he goes and wins in Kansas City, game over. It'll be Burrow. So I mean, I think at 20-1, there's at least a case to be made for him.
So I said that on a numbers game this week. I said both of those things. I think the best MVP vote is Burrow 20-1. And when we did adjusted season win totals, I said Atlanta under 9.5 and Cincinnati over were the best bets on the board. So I'm with you on all that. That's probably the best bet right at this moment. What's that?
Don't fade the Heineke.
What's wrong with you? Man? Seriously, what's wrong with you?
Don't fade the Heineke. I'm just telling you right now. Go ahead. Do it at your own risk.
We should get a diagnosis on this for real.
I get a third pick still, by the way. Everyone else has their picks. I still get a third pick.
Okay, go ahead.
What are you waiting for?
And I'm going to tell you who the third pick is. In a week where there is, as you say, slim pickings, and there's always slim pickings, but now it's a real slim pickings week, right? We're talking down to bread and water at this point, right? I'm going to go with a tried and true scenario. Now, I wouldn't be taking this game in a normal week, but because it's I like the over in Colts games, okay? I like to find the team that is the crappiest on offense and the crappiest on defense. And for some reason, there's always one of those teams in the National Football League that can just reel off over after over after over. A couple years ago, I was on Tampa Bay over almost every week. The Sharps were betting it under, and I was like, what are you guys doing? They ended the year like 14-2 over. Now, this week gives me a little pause because the Panthers aren't a good offensive team. That scares me, but they are at home, so maybe they can get me the points. The Colts are an absolute disaster on defense, and they are very good on offense, even with Minshew. They've got two premier running backs. Somehow, everyone knows they're going to run the ball, but they block it up good, and these Taylor and Moss are running for miles. But by the way, is Moss not the slowest running back you've ever seen? Last week, he comes out of he looked like he could run for a touchdown, and all of a sudden, he's like walking, and these guys are like behind him. But anyways, that being said, every single week, these guys are gashing the opponents, and they have to know it's coming. It's not like Gardner Minshew is that great passing the ball. Every week they run the ball, and they run it well. So I think that the Colts are going to keep moving the football against the Carolina Panther weak-ass defense. And I think because the Colts defense is so paltry, this might be the week that the Carolina Panthers can get you 17-20 points, and you can go up and over the 43.5. Is that what you guys have, 43.5?
Let's see.
Yeah, there's a 43.5. There's one left.
I'll take 44 because we don't usually do that. It has to be widely available. Take 44 if that's the correct 40, number.
44 is the correct number, yes. Okay. Yeah.
So give me over 44 in Carolina for all the reasons I just said, because I just, you know, if in doubt, you bet the Colts over.
Let's play NFL trivia for a second since we were just talking about MVP. Who won the MVP in the year 2002? Anyone?
2002. Wow.
Is this a Jerry trick question? Rice? Was it split?
It's not split. It's just like I forgot that this guy won the MVP.
I'll go Steve McNair. Steve Young?
Rich Gannon.
Ooh, God.
Wow.
All right, one last one. 1980. Who won the MVP? If I gave you the team, I'm curious if you could even come up with it.
Is it the kicker? Is that the year kicker won?
No, that's Mosley in 82, and how dare you? Okay. How dare you disparage that?
Give us a second. 1980 would have been like a Steelers would won the year before.
80 was the year that the Raiders beat the Eagles.
Jim Plunkett.
No.
Jim Plunkett.
No. He played for the
Wilbur Montgomery.
He played for the Cleveland. Wilbur Montgomery is a good guess. He played for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, Mike Pruitt.
No, Mike, not Mike Pruitt. Do it.
Brian Sipe.
Brian Sipe won the MVP in 1980. I had no idea. It's crazy.
Cleveland was very good that year. I think that's the year of the mistake by the lake, isn't it? Isn't that the famous playoff game where they were driving and then the Raiders got him or something?
Mike Davis picked off the ball in the end zone. Yeah, I think that's
the year. That was the year. Yeah.
Brian Sipe was the NFL MVP. I had no idea.
Brian Sipe had a couple good years there. against the Steelers. You know, he actually wasn't bad. Him to Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, what you were referring to, Will, is Mark Moseley won it as a kicker in 1982 for the about-to-be Super Bowl champion Washington Redskins. He, at that time, had the record for most consecutive field goals made. Straight-on kicker, single handlebar. I think it was like 27 in a row at that point. And NFL MVP in a strike-shortened year.
Very justified.
But that was when 27 in a row meant something.
That's when 27 now, in a row meant something. 20, that's right. That's exactly
27
right.
27 in a row, everyone makes 27, except Graham Gano.
Except Graham Gano, who's a Southern man, apparently. Southern gentleman. Okay, this brings us teaser of the
Ryan
week.
Ryan Sipe. He also competed in the 1961 Little League World Series. So Brian, this guy, dual sport athlete.
Brian
look at this.
Sipe was in the Little League World Series? Really?
Dual sport athlete around here, yeah.
Wow. By the way, if
you Ryan Sipe was actually, he would never play nowadays. He was so small. He was like a little teeny guy.
You know, he's 74 years old, Brian Sipe. That's how old we are. 74 years old. Jeez. His career totals, 154 touchdowns, 149 interceptions.
Who backed up Brian Sipe? How about this? You wanted there's a good one. Who backed up Brian Sipe?
Mike Krucek?
No,
he was a Steelers backup.
Paul McDonald, the left-hander Paul McDonald.
He went to USC. He played for a co-national champion USC Trojans team, Paul McDonald.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Teaser of the week. By the way, there's been a lot of good teaser weeks. I don't love these teaser legs at all. What's your favorite two-team teaser leg, Mateo?
Yeah, it's a bad teaser week. You're right. Give me the Browns down to 2 and the Panthers up to 8.5. And that's just going to be by look.
Yeah.
It's like, give me if the Browns can't beat Clayton Tune.
Yeah.
When they're at home with that defense, I'm asking them to win by field goal. I understand PJ Walker has been atrocious, but like the defense has still played pretty good throughout the course of the year. If there's been any sort of hiccup in the defense, it's been that they've allowed kind of these big splash plays in the pass game. But do we think Clayton Tune with Hollywood Brown and Mike Wilson and whatever's going to be the people to exploit all this? Like, I don't. So I'll take the Browns down to 2 and then the Panthers up to 8.5, mainly because I think the door is always open against the Colts. Like this team, whether it be them not being able to score points on their own or the defense being able to be exploited. And honestly, I've seen some stuff from Bryce Young over the last few weeks that leads me to believe that maybe he's starting to kind of get it a little bit. It took him a little bit longer than CJ Stroud, but it seems like the speed has kind of been a little bit better with him now. And they're running Mingo out there more. Like Mingo seems like they're trying to move away from this. Like, let's just check down to Adam Thielen every single time. Like Mingo had a career high in snaps, career high in route runs last week. I think they're trying to figure out whether they have anything in him or not. He's obviously a much more explosive player for them too. So I think we can get some of that going. So keeping it at home within 8.5 points against the Colts is my second leg of this thing.
Dodd.
I actually like the teaser week. I am actually the teaser leader at 6-2. So, I mean, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. But I will say this.
Well, yeah, when you change everybody's records down.
That's,
of course
that's right. Sure. When you doctor everybody else's.
How many apologies do I need to make, Will? Don't get me on your bad side like I have Gilly. Okay, so Brownies I'm going to take the Brownies because I heard not only is Clayton Tune starting this week, but a little known fact is Dana Holgorsen will be calling the plays, his former college coach.
That's right.
But yes, I mean, give me a break. By the way, the Browns had the bad week of defense against the Colts. Then they gave up 14 points in the first 4 minutes of the Seattle game. But from that point on, the Browns defense was back to the Browns defense. On the road, they should have won that game. Had Walker not thrown the interception down at the 11 in the first half, they would have won that game. Had Walker not thrown the interception at the end, 3rd and 3, they still probably would have won the game. And it was because the defense kept shutting Seattle down on the road, play after play after play after play. That Browns defense is still good. Mr. Toon is in big, big trouble. Give me the Browns minus the 2. And I'm going to also go with the second pick being the Saints down to 2.5. What is it? We say the Saints were 8.5. Is that right or no?
Mostly 8.5.
Did I do that wrong?
Yeah, 8.5.
Oh, maybe it moved. Yeah, 8.5. Okay, yeah. So give me the Saints down to 2.5. Mr. Baguette was very nice in getting the attempts for me last week and getting the win for me against the Raiders. But now you're on the road, and come on, give me a break. Saints minus 2.5.
Wilson?
Same one. Saints, Browns, Badgett on the road, Clayton Tune on the road. I think by Sunday they're going to have so much teaser money, two-team teaser money, that they'll probably start to put in some nines here to get you off of that. And as we know, the teaser prices are not as good as they used to be. But yeah,
really,
I hadn't heard that.
Oh
yeah, some of these 140 on a teaser, 150 on a teaser. It's hard to win that way when you're laying that.
Is there a show that I could tune into that talks about that at all? I'm just curious. A
couple of the shows on VEASAN discuss it from time to time.
Okay, curious. Referring to Bill Krakenberger talking about it on a numbers game every Thursday. He loves that topic. Drives him crazy. I guess that's
100% right too. It is frustrating.
He is 100% right. He's 100% right. I got the Browns and the Saints, too. I don't love it, to be quite honest with you, but it is Clayton Tune.
Why don't you love it?
Because it's
Why don't you love it?
Because it's – I don't trust the Browns or the Saints to do anything. But, by the way, this segues into the survival.
At home, you don't trust the Browns' vaunted defense to shut that guy's in the mouth.
I picked it, so obviously I trust it enough, right? But I don't, like, love it. I'm just saying I'm going with the anti-Clayton Tune Tyson Bagent teaser, which also brings us to survivor discussion, which, again, I got knocked out when the Commodores lost to the Bears some weeks ago. But I did, at that point, I had it mapped out and would have gotten, were it not for that game, to this point as well. I wouldn't have lost a second time yet. And this was the week at that time, so we're talking after week 3 when I scripted it, where it was a Saints-Browns week. And now the opposing quarterback is playing into those picks as well. They're the two biggest spreads on the board. So it really did work out that way. So I do think it's a Browns-Saints. Because I don't think you get cute with anybody else. Like, even the Falcons, I don't think you get cute with that. I think you end up...
Who else are you supposed to pick?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think you take the Ravens confidently. I would have already picked the Ravens in mine. So to me, again, mapped out, it's a Browns/Saints week. So anyway.
I take the lead. I take the lead into the next week with the teasers already because I'm guaranteed to win.
That's right.
Or lose.
Are you in Survivor still, Matt? No, you're out.
No, I do the whole everything on the same team
right.
thing. So all down with the Jags. Yeah, way early.
What were you groaning about?
It's a tough one this week for sure from a survivor standpoint. I wouldn't have had a couple of the teams left. I'd probably have to play the Falcons this week actually.
Wow.
If I was still in, I probably would have had to go that direction. But it's not a great week. I don't think you're clicking the button and feeling great about any of them.
Nope.
That's for sure.
No, nope. Falcons would be a more optimal game theory play, but I wouldn't know. I don't trust it.
I don't want to keep us too long, but I do think it's interesting. Why do we think, injuries aside, because injuries isn't all of it, why do we think the quarterback play is so poor, is just so like, I don't get it. It seems like these kids are being trained at a younger age and there's all this quarterback talent at younger levels, but it's just not materializing to the NFL. Do you guys have any theories? I have like a...
It happens every year. They say that every single year, Willie, don't they?
Not like this.
Really? Really? Okay. I'm not going to argue.
What do you think, Gil?
I don't have a theory for it. I just know that you're right. There's, you know, we've already said there's not 32 good quarterbacks, right? And it seems like every year, now especially exacerbated by Achilles injuries to Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, now, like, if you go up and down this board, right, just and I'm just going to do it on a glance. Tonight it's Levis against Pickett, all right? So far,
0 for 2.
Exactly. All right. Tua and Mahomes, okay. Then you have,
2 for 4.
Right, 2 for 4. But then you have Jaren Hall against Taylor Heineke, no.
2 for 6.
You have Geno and Lamar. I'd say 1 for 2. We'll give Geno, or should we give Geno a plus?
Just be nice to Geno.
We'll be nice to Geno. We'll be nice to Geno.
4 for 8.
All right.
4 for 8.
Then you have Clayton Tune and PJ Walker.
4 for 10.
Then you have, who's starting for the Rams again?
Rippin.
Somebody horrible.
Rippin. Brett Rippin against Jordan Love.
No. Actually, gonna be Mark Rippin this week.
Mark Rippin is going to play.
Mark Rippin would be better.
That'd be great. He would be better. Then you have Baker Mayfield against C.J. Stroud. What are we going to do with those two guys?
I'll give 1 out of 2 with generous. I'm being very generous.
All right.
5 for 14.
Okay. Then you do have Sam Howell against Mac Jones. What do you do with those two guys?
Give 1, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think you can even give 1 there.
I'm trying to be really generous.
Okay.
6 for 16.
Okay. Then it's Bajent against Carr.
So we're going bad on those.
Current version of either one. Yeah, no. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no.
Then it's Minshew against Bryce.
6 for 20.
Daniel Jones against Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, O'Connell.
O'Connell. Pardon me. Daniel Jones ain't O'Connell.
6 for 22.
Okay. I mean, you're getting the idea, right? Okay. Then
keep
it's
going.
Dak against Hurts. So we'll give him those two, maybe? Yeah.
Fine. 8 for 24.
And Josh Allen and Burrow. We'll give him those two.
Great.
Yeah.
And then Herbert and Wilson is 1 for 2. Herbert, Zach Wilson on Monday night. So what's the final score?
So 11 for 28.
And we were being nice about a couple of those, right? So, I mean, that's. How,
what teams are off? Aren't there four teams? What are the four teams
that
are
like
off?
Goff is out. Who's? I'll give you the buys. The teams
so
that
Goff
are
is good.
The teams
for
that,
29.
Hold on. The teams that are I'll out are. Sorry.
Yeah. So Broncos, Lions,
Goff,
Jags, and Niners.
Goff, Russ Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, and Brock Purdy. So 3 of the 4.
We'll give.
Yeah.
I'll give 3 out of 4 to be generous.
Okay.
So it's 14 out of 32.
Okay. And we're being generous on some of those. So really, there's like 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that pocket. Great or solidly competent, good, very good quarterbacks. How is that possible? How? What's at play? What is it about someone like, let's just take
the only thing.
Yeah.
No, the only thing I can think of, if you had a lot of empty drafts, like 2015, you have Winston and Mariota, 1 and 2. Like, those guys should be in their prime now. The next year, you had Goff and Wentz. Wentz is out of the league. There was the 2014 year, Bridgewater, Manziel, Blake Bortles. So you have a good 3-4 year stretch here where you got a lot of busted quarterback where these guys would be taking the mantle from the Bradys, the Rodgers. They'd be in year 7, 8, 9, you know, or whatever, in their prime, mid prime, or whatever.
Right.
That just whiffed.
But it doesn't.
Why it's happening,
but it
I
doesn't.
Don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't address the core of the question, right?
No,
which is,
I
yeah.
Maybe because the play calling is different in college football, where they do a lot of that run RPO stuff.
So my theory is twofold. One of which is that I think college offenses cater the offenses to the skill set of the quarterback a lot more, and so for example, let's take Jaden Daniels at LSU, right? Like, he's third in the Heisman. He's throwing all these crazy stats and all this stuff, but like, he's not on anybody's even radar for quarterbacks in the NFL, right?
Really?
Like, they have catered.
Wait,
they've catered
is that true,
this. Pat? Yeah. Like, they
What is he projected as?
Like third day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe that.
And because it's like the offense is catered to his skill set, right? And like, you look at the and then on top of that, I also think that, and people yell at us about analytics and people yell at us about all this, but like, look, there are dudes who are sitting, every one of these teams has an analytics department, and they sit and they just pick apart every single play that a quarterback does, and they know every single weakness, every single tendency, every single anything. It's why, like, we see these backup quarterbacks come in a game and they end up having like success. And then the very next week, like, they just get brought back down to earth like instantly, right? Because the team did not analyze them at all. And so they come in like they don't have any of the tendency there, whatever. And then the next week when they have a little bit of tape on them, it's game over, right? And they just look like garbage again. They look like trash. And I think like these defenses are just so good at figuring out what you don't do well and forcing you into doing what you don't do well, that it makes it tough on a lot of these guys, which is why what we see with Mahomes and Burrow and Allen, all these guys that we do actually think are really good quarterbacks is really and truly amazing, because these dudes are doing stuff that they probably shouldn't be able to do today with defensive linemen that run 4.5 at 285 pounds and like, you know, all the stuff like that. They probably shouldn't even be able to do it.
You said it. The flip side is, Matt said it many times, like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow have ruined all of this for everybody.
Yes. Because they came in and made it look easy in year one, and no one, and like we just assume everyone should do that. And like, that's just not the way it works, you know?
I know all the defenders are big and fast, but man, you can't touch anybody on offense. You can't touch the receivers. You can't hit people over the middle. You can't hit the quarterback high or late or low. Like, so there are some advantages with the offense that didn't used to be too. Like the middle of the field is wide open now, where you can't hit the defenseless receiver. Like I don't know. It's interesting.
What about
it's interesting what Matt said also. Like, you have a guy like Desmond Ridder, who was like a world beater in college, and I could tell right from the start he's not going to make it. Yeah. It's almost like a Jaden Daniels thing, like what you're saying. A guy like Drake May looks like an NFL quarterback to me, because he's like a drop back guy who's going to read the, you know what I mean? He looks like an NFL quarterback. There's so many of these college quarterbacks that are successful because they use their feet and they, you know, they make the wide open plays, but there's really, I mean, where do you see that many just drop back and sling it quarterbacks that look like NFL guys in college? You really don't, even on the best teams, like that guy for Notre Dame, Hartman. I mean, he's okay, but you know, is he going to, I don't think he's going to be so awesome in the NFL. I mean, who are the big projected guys in quarterback for the NFL next year in the draft? Who are the top guys?
Caleb Williams, Drake May,
Penix.
Who was the third
Penix
one?
And who was
Penix?
Penix. Will, who did you say?
I didn't say anything. I was asking who the third one was.
The Texas quarterback, yours.
Yours.
Oh, I don't like him. I don't like him at all.
I mean, I'm just telling you.
But like, let's go back to like the 2021 draft, because Matt, you and I, we were doing the draft show at Circa. That was like five quarterbacks drafted in the top 11, right? That was Trevor Lawrence at one, but then it was Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3, Justin Fields 11, and Mac Jones 15, pardon me, 5 in the top 15. And you could, at this point, you can look at that group and you'd be like, well, Trevor Lawrence, we don't know about the others.
There was one other guy you said it was decent.
I mean, Justin Fields and Mac Jones, like, jury's still out, right?
Forget Mac Jones. Justin Fields, maybe.
Maybe.
And even Lawrence is underperformed. Like, he's good, but he's not. I know a lot of people are, you know, best quarterback in a generation, best quarterback since, I forget what people are throwing around, Peyton Manning, whatever.
That was
good, but he's not like, I don't know, he's not great. I don't think he's great. Would you guys say Lawrence is a great quarterback? So, to your point, like, even sort of underachieved, even the good one.
And some of that with this group is, I wonder how much of it is also the lack of, or before the transfer portal, was the lack of parity in college football, where, you know, Mac Jones is surrounded by nothing but five stars. Justin Fields is surrounded by nothing but five stars. And so then when you get them in, that's not true of every Alabama quarterback, as we're seeing with Jalen Hurts, but like, I mean, Trevor Lawrence went to Clemson and he was surrounded by a lot of good players too. But like, there is some of that too, where it's like, okay, how can you properly evaluate Mac Jones or Justin Fields when they're just crushing the JCC every week, right?
Well, Josh Allen at Wyoming, I mean, he looked good. I remember him at Wyoming, but
nobody
would have thought he was going to be.
No.
He was going to be like this. Nobody.
Nobody. And that's the other thing. So Dr. Bob used to say, the only thing you can really accurately project from college to pro is accuracy. And Josh Allen didn't have any of that at all. So he kind of bucked the whole conventional wisdom too. I don't know. I mean, I will say this. It's a new thing, and I remember when Veasan first started, I started talking about it when, like, Aaron Rodgers was getting to 36 years old and Tom Brady was getting to 40, whatever. You were like, besides Russell Wilson, there was this massive gap in good quarterbacks from the very old. That didn't used to be the case when we were kids. It was always just a progression. And now it's just this wide thing where you're like, this is the best it's been for young quarterbacks with Allen and Herbert and Burrow. But that's the list.
And Gil, just to kind of put a bow on this, like this draft coming up, because you know I'm like the freak when it comes to these drafts. Like, it is going to be so interesting to see what teams value in quarterbacks, because outside of Williams and May, it really does go all over the place for like what people, who's going to be the third, who's going to be the fourth, how many go in the first round. I mean, I've seen first round mocks already that have Shedeur Sanders going in the first round. I've seen mocks that have JJ McCarthy going in the first round. I mean, like, now you're talking, that means Penix falls out. That means Ewers falls out. What about Jaden Daniels? When does he go? What about Bo Nix, who's still out there? Riley Leonard was getting a bunch of buzz before he got hurt with Duke. I mean, there's just a bunch of different guys. To see how these teams are going to value all this stuff, because Riley Leonard is your 6'4", 230-pound guy that you really, really love. But, and Bo Nix is your big guy, but kind of mobile. And like, it's going to be wild to see what these teams do.
You like Bo Nix, Matt? I like him.
Isn't the biggest thing that we're forgetting also, pardon me, and maybe it's the number one thing that we should have said. I always talk about Peyton Manning, and people like disagree with me when I say this, but there's no way to prove it either way. I say Peyton Manning was drafted by Washington that had a different coordinator every year and a different coach. He would never have become Peyton Manning. That's my way of saying football is the most dependent sport on system and where you end up. Like, if you're Michael Jordan.
But he still would have been good.
He would never have sucked, probably, right? But because he has a pedigree. But he still would not have become the player he was, in my opinion. I could never prove it. You can't disprove it. But I'm saying, like, if you're in basketball, if you're Michael Jordan, you're Michael Jordan. It doesn't matter where you end up. And in baseball, which is really an individual sport disguised as a team sport, if you can hit, you can hit. But like football, man, it depends. There's no telling if I'm just going to come up like Tua ended up in Miami. Justin Herbert would have been good anywhere. But Burrow ended up in Cincinnati. What if Burrow ended up in, I don't know, pick a fucking team.
Washington.
Yes, Washington.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I mean, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. We would have said Cincinnati is the one that was going to kill the quarterback because they were such a bad organization. But it's weird where he got there, but he also got there with a bunch of talent with Chase and a defense and a kicker and a defensive coordinator. So it's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Final two questions, boys. Let's do it. Big favorite, most likely to lose outright. I come to you from the future. And I tell you, hey, one of these teams lost. There's not a lot of choices this week, so we got to bring it down to like 6-point favorites. Ravens, 6-point favorites hosting the Seahawks. Browns, 8-point favorites hosting the Cardinals. Saints, 9-point favorites hosting the Chicago Bears. Those are your only three choices, period. So is it Ravens,
Seattle, obviously.
Ravens, Browns, or Saints?
Yeah, Ravens.
Seattle beat Ravens.
Ravens? Will?
Came to me from the future. I'd want to know how you got here, first of all. I mean, it's a little...
No,
a little
it's another weird. Story. I can't tell you.
Yeah, that's a little strange. Yeah, it's got to be the Ravens, for sure.
God, I want to say Cleveland, but okay, yeah, it's the Ravens.
Cleveland is not losing to Clayton.
Not to Clayton, too. They're not. Okay. Okay, and then the final question. There are 28 teams, 14 games. You must play the side in 13 of the 14 games. But one game you get a free pass on, you want no part of it whatsoever. Matt, what game is that?
Chargers, Jets, very easy because of the line. Sitting right on the other side of the field goal at 3.5. You tell me the Chargers have to win on the road again at margin against the Jets defense. It's pretty good and all this. I have no confidence in that coaching staff on the Chargers side of things that are like, fire that game into the sun as well. Like, I don't want anything to do with that game.
Interesting. So many choices this week. Dad.
I don't want to play the Dolphins Chiefs game. I just think it's, I don't know. I mean, I think, is it going to be the same old Dolphins where they can't play well against a good team, or just maybe something in the back of my mind is saying maybe this is the week Miami plays well against a good team. So I don't want to play that one.
Will?
Giants Raiders.
Rams Packers for me.
That was my other one. I was torn between those two. Yeah.
Rams Packers, like, let's go now.
I should play the Rams. I should play the Rams in that game, and I can't do it. But I should play the Rams. The Packers are stink. The Packers suck. Yeah, they
suck bad.
Stafford is definitely out or probably out. What do we know?
It's, like, the Lions, sure? Like, it's out. The line makes it look like.
It's going to be ripping. But it's on the other side of a field goal. Like I should play the Rams. I don't know. I should play the Rams. Maybe I will.
How about Wolf? How about
Wolford
got an offer to join the Rams? John Wolford, who used to play for the Rams, remember he started that playoff game.
He won a game,
and he's on the Tampa Bay practice squad, or at least he was at the moment. And he's like, "Nah, I'm good over here." How about that? That's awesome. By the way, what happened to Stetson Bennett? Wasn't he on the roster? What happened?
He's hurt too.
Okay. Listen, all I know is for people who have Puka Nacua Rookie of the Year tickets like I do, getting Stafford out of there is the greatest thing that's ever happened. I know people are like, oh, he'll never win it now without Stafford. Are you kidding me? He's been feeding his boyfriend, Cooper Kupp, for 5 weeks. Stop it.
This is my favorite Gil rant. Anytime you start doing, you go on these little rants, I turn the volume up on my phone. I just love how mad you get.
It's like I didn't know they did a podcast together and that they were like boyfriend and girlfriend. I didn't know this, but like he'll throw it to Cubs. There's a pick six. Maybe you should go to Puka Nacua, who's wide fucking open all day long.
You know what it reminds me of? The Seinfeld where George is, they think he's obsessed with the guy Lloyd Braun, and he tries to convince everybody he's not, and then everything comes back to Lloyd Braun. That's kind of what you said. It's Lloyd Braun.
Lloyd Braun is selling computers. It's amazing.
Oh, God. All right. Thank you, boys. Yeah. Appreciate it as always.
Yeah, that's a bit of things weird, though. Like, it's like some sort of other thing going on with him.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's not like an actual injury. It's like non-football injury list thing for him. Yeah.
Maybe Wolford got to him too. He's like, you don't want to play for this guy.
McVay, there are certain things I think are a little bigger and more important, and out of respect for the particulars and the specifics, I want to be able to keep it in house, he says. So,
wow. What word salad was that? My God.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we hope for the best.
Something weird there. Yeah. Best for Stetson, whatever's going on there.
Matt, last thing. Are you in millions or are you in circa millions?
Yeah.
Are you doing okay? Yeah. What's your status?
I'm in the upper third.
Upper third. It. Okay.
Whatever.
That's me. So upper third.
It's good enough to not win anything. I have to pay attention, but like good enough to not win anything.
You know, our boy Kelly Bidlin is in 358th place. He's above 60%, so I told him, I said, you get to talk about it when you're above 60%. And our guy Fezzik is in a tie for fifth. Y'all know this? Fezzik in a tie for fifth, this guy.
I thought he was only in a tie for fifth if they would have won that game with the Ravens.
He would have been in first if that had happened. He's in a tie for fifth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 28-10-2. All right. Rooting him on. All right. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Matt Brown, once again, on VSiN. It's called the All Angles Podcast, and the handle is the name of the radio show, which is at what time on Saturday and Sunday, Matt? 7 p.m.?
7 to 10 Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific.
7 to 10 Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific, which he does with Mike Somich. And Todd Wishnev can be found on the Twitter machine at TWishnev. Are you doing your college basketball stuff this year, Todd?
Oh, yeah, baby. CBB. I hope the algorithms haven't figured anything out because last year was an epic one.
But are you inviting people to do it with you, though? Are you doing that thing?
Well, here's the thing. I think I can fit 256 people on the WhatsApp thing that I do where I give the picks as it's going, and I might have like 175. But the problem is when people ask me to be on, then I have to do a whole thing. I have to get them on, get their contact. It's like a whole process. So you can, go on Twitter and ask me, and when I get a chance and have like a couple hours to put more people on, I'll put more people on, but I don't know exactly when I'll get to it.
And Will, you're doing your college basketball thing in solitude? You're not joining anybody else?
What do you mean?
Your in-game college basketball stuff, you just do that in the comforts of your own home?
Yes. It's a little trickier early in the season. I've only done it a couple years. It's a little trickier early in the season, so I don't know if it's just small sample size or it's just the fact that these are non-conference games. It's early in the year where they don't foul as much late, and that messes with the total. So it picks up once conference season starts.
All right, I promote.
But you got to be careful with that fouling late. They're not fouling as much late in college anymore. They used to foul like banshees,
especially non-conference. And now, especially non-conference,
banshees used to foul all the time. Todd, banshees. Oh my God, they were foulers.
So that's why I like to do a lot of first half. Will, I like to do a lot of first half. Where you're getting a more true thing.
All right. I always promote the Megapod on a numbers game, but I never promote a numbers game on a Megapod. So a numbers game on VSiN, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. 7 to 9 Pacific, 10 to noon Eastern, Monday through Friday with Kelly Bidlin. We've done all we could do. Good luck with all your bets. Week 9 in the National Football League. Thanks for listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.